So let's move over to the Forgotten Feast, part four. My intention today is to try and pull all of the loose ends together. Is that all right? And be as practical as I can be. I hope this has helped you a little bit as where we've been looking, as we've been looking at first fruits and different elements. I was only speaking to somebody this morning who said, thanks for the teaching that you've been bringing, because we used to do this, but somewhere down the line, we just stopped. So it used to be a practice. And what did we say right at the beginning? That we were looking to reset patterns and deal with forgotten blueprints and establish it back into the house. Yes? So that's where we're working from. I also said to you last week that when we were talking in these areas, we are not on a fundraiser. Shall I say again? We are not on a fundraiser. I asked somebody a question this morning, and the question went like this. When we were shut for a year over COVID, did we send you an email every week asking for your tithes and offerings?
No.
Because we left it with you, didn't we? And said, when you come back, you'll bring it. Because it's called, you've been taught and you're trusted. Yes?
Yeah.
Did the church close when we didn't take your money every week?
No.
Is the heating still on?
Yeah.
Just about. Just about. Well, I can assure you the heating's on. It might not be brilliant, but the heating's on. Also, when Emma made the announcement, and I know it's frustrating for all of us, 3 months ago that the bank account had closed and we were opening a new one, what we found is that the banking system has binned so many churches and charities, they don't want our business anymore. So what we have to do is find a very limited amount of suppliers who offer bank accounts to churches and charities. And what they've said to us is, you're just in the process because we've got so much demand, we're just spinning up accounts. Now, if we chase you every week and said, what you better do, Chris, I've got to make sure you put your offering in the bag. We are not chasing money. We have never chased your money. We will not chase you where money's concerned. These are principles and patterns that are established in the kingdom and in the house. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. I also said to you right at the beginning that as we taught these things, I was not bringing a personal opinion. I was trying to bring and be as close to what I see as biblical patterns as possible, and so that I could accurately represent him and represent his word. And I believe so far I've not been stoned on 3 weeks that we're going in the right direction. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Right, so let's continue then. I'll keep a track of time and we'll see where we go. But we said, didn't we? We gave stepping stones. Stepping stone one. We are not under the law, but we are under
grace.
And the rules of grace are greater than the rules of law. We said that stepping stone two was submission and obedience. Christ had to learn the pattern of both. Again, we're not opening all the scriptures to this. These are things that you can find on the notes. I take it if you have an email address, you've all received your notes now. The audios are online should you want to be able to go back and revisit everything. We looked at stepping stone three, which was the principle of tithe. And we put that in its place. And we answered the question, how does a man rob God? You are not robbing God with your money. You rob him of the ability to show you he is a father who can provide. And we looked and we broke that down. Again, we don't need to go into that for time. And then last week, we looked at stepping stone number four was putting things in order. And we looked at the order of first importance. Okay? So with all that in mind, let's carry on. So picking up from the order of first importance from last week, we looked at Deuteronomy 6, 1-6, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. God is number one. Your heart, soul, and strength, he is called to be number one. He is not called to compete with anything else. He is the first place. He is the first importance. He is your number one. You might see Mr. or Mrs. Wright and say, you are my world. You are everything to me. You have the day when you, if you've been blessed of the Lord and you look down at that beautiful baby and you think, I could never ever love anything more than I love this. He is still number one. Now, did God say you can't love your kids? Does he say you can't love your wife? He's saying, I am first importance. That's the place that came down. Matthew 6:28 turned around and said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Two principles don't change. From Old to New Testament, God still says, I'm number one. And when Christ turns up, he turns around and says, what is the first importance? Seek first the kingdom. So God is number one in your life. And as God number one, seek his kingdom. So am I still being biblical? I'm still all right. I've not been stoned yet. So when we looked at, when we remove honor, we rob God of the ability to show and provide adequate provision for us. And we looked at very briefly, we said that God can't, or man cannot serve two masters. It's God or mammon. And we looked at it and said that all the way through the Old Testament, you see that in almost every book, God is fighting with man for his love for the idols. Cut down your Asherah pole. Don't serve a Baal. Get rid of your high places. Don't give your heart to something else. By the time we get to the new, God says, the thing that competes with me is gold. Yeah. It's gold and where you will place your heart. You cannot serve both. Will I be number one, or will your love for the stuff consume you and be what dictates to you in your life moving forward? And we said that when we become that and we remove God's honor, there is a process of decline that takes place. So we become lovers of gold rather than lovers of God. That without realizing, a mammon now completes or competes for the highest place in our hearts. We saw that this was not an issue of salvation, it was an issue of sonship was at stake. Because there is the principles of I see the kingdom, I enter the kingdom, I'm approved in the kingdom, I'm matured in the kingdom, I inherit the kingdom, I rule and reign in the kingdom. But for many of us, I see and enter is where we stop. Where God turns around, even as you see the writings of Paul, it says, a child is like a slave until he comes of age, where he can then be released his inheritance. There is an inheritance that God is waiting for you and I to be brought into, but you can only be brought into when your maturity level increases. That's where he has to be matured and you have to be approved. Can you be trusted to the one who can be trusted with a little can then be entrusted with a lot? So we see those principles that when I remove God from his position, I begin to act like a pagan, whether I know it and like it or not. And our testimony is that we have become spiritual orphans and that our now faith is in the gold. Our faith is now in the gold and what's in our bank account rather than what's God can provide for us. Job 31 says this, if I have made gold my hope, or said to find gold, you are my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand has gained much, if I observe the sun when it shines, or the moon in its brightness, so that my heart would secretly entice, and my mouth has kissed my hand, this would also be an iniquity deserving judgment. For I would have denied God. That when we put our trust outside of him, we actually deny him. Because our hope and our faith is not in what's primary. It's not in what's first. We move it and we changed. Then we looked at, again, just reviewing for you, pulling the ends together. We looked at Abraham, that when Abraham brought his offering to Melchizedek without it being asked for, he brought an honoring gift, a tithe to Melchizedek. In the first verse of the next chapter, he turns round and he says this, his promise is that I am your exceedingly great reward. That when I hold God in honour, when I move towards him, God is your exceeding great reward. You miserable bunch. I said, God is your exceeding great reward. He puts his name in it. I am your exceeding great reward. And then Jesus turns around and says, when you put first the kingdom, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, all a part of your portion, all a part of your parcel, parcel of moving forward. All of that is found in our honor towards God. Now again, all of this, it will be in your notes, it'll be in what we've already covered. But it's a fantastic position to be in. Now, here's the bit that blows my mind. What blows my mind is this, just thinking about it when I was sat down. I am your exceeding great reward. Abraham then kicks straight into a negotiation that's not a negotiation. But I have no seed. So God turns around and says that your offspring and your seed will be like the stars in the sky, will be like the sand on the seashore. It's going to be unmeasurable, innumerable. I have to keep looking at the people who are educated in the room to see whether or not my words are right. It's innumerable, and we are that seed. Our lineage is found in Abraham, the father of faith. We are part of that. So when God turns around and says, you will have a son, and your wife who's beyond childbearing age will bear you a son. They have Isaac. The promise is brought in. Abraham's 100 years of age. He's got his heart's desire. He's got everything. He's put God number one. Then God placed a demand. And what was the demand he placed? The thing closest to his heart. And what was closest to his heart? His son. And in that, you read that story is one of the greatest prophetic statements written in Scripture. When the boy's carrying the wood and Abraham are going up the mountain, the boy says, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says, the Lord will provide. Because he's walked so much with this God as being primary and number one, his words to everybody was, the boy and I will return. Before he's setting off, you stay here, make camp. The boy and I will return, because he believes that even if he makes that sacrifice, God and the God of the promise, who said you will have the seed, would also return back to him what was lost. Amen. We have said before, something might leave your hand, but will never leave your life. It is so strong, the power of the promise and the covenant that God makes with us. We looked at that tiny seed, didn't we, in the apple? And we said, what do you see? And we said, we see a seed. Yes? And we said, well, that seed become a tender shoot that becomes a sapling, that becomes a tree, and the tree begins to blossom, and the blossom then begins to bear fruit, and that fruit falls to the ground, and that seed becomes an orchard. Inside of us, everything that we are given is given in seed form. We are responsible for how we deal with that. There is the potential of the kingdom development inside you and I, which is huge. So now let's springboard into something new. We used a word last week, and again, for all you Hebrew scholars, because I know you're full Hebrew and Greek scholars in here, my pronunciation of the word bukharim. Bukharim was the word that followed first fruits. These two words I gave you, one that said about being first, setting in place, having it as order. We discussed that in the past. But this bukharim is where I want to push from this morning. And that word translated means for the promise to come. There is a promise to come. I said there's a promise to come. Amen. For all of you think I don't know a reason to get out of bed tomorrow, there's a promise to come. Amen. There's something that is being deposited in you and I that we are looking to bring through to fruition. Yes. That God is working in us and through us. Proverbs 3:9-10 says this, honor the Lord with your possessions. Just let you know, if I keep slipping up, you know what I told you last week, I broke my tooth? Yeah. I went to the dentist, I had my tooth fixed, and then it fell out. So I still need to go back. So if I'm S-ing and I'm mispronouncing, I'm still missing the front part of my tooth. So back with the first fruit of all your increase, so that the barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, as remember, we've touched before, because this is something we should never lose. There is old wine. There is new wine. There is now wine. And there is something that's part and parcel of your portion every day, that we are coming into something new. And God turns around and says that when I honor the Lord with the first fruits of my possessions and all my increase, my barns overflow. My vat will overflow with new wine, and I'm going to add to that with the new wine. Because there is a new season that we're coming into. There is a new day. That each time we sow into the word and sow from the word, a new season begins. We set something in motion. We've said, haven't we, that the issue of honouring God and thanking God is so key. We tithe and thank God for our past and present provision. First fruits is for future harvest. That it was for the seed they were saying, I have the harvest has now come in. But I am sowing a seed for the harvest that we will sow later. So for next year, I'm believing that you are still the God of provision. You will still come through for me. That whether, I don't know about you, we were looking yesterday, nuts, fuel price, we were driving through Oldham, 170 a litre. Don't live in London, because I read this week some garages are doing £2 a litre on fuel. That when you're looking over your shoulder saying costs are increasing, what's it going to be like at work? We're all told that because of what's happening with Russia and the Ukraine, the world's going to spin around on its axis. Stupid. How currencies are rising and falling. We're in an unstable market. The kingdom is not unstable. Amen. There is no recession in the kingdom. God knows what he's doing and he knows how to look after his kids. God knows how to look after his kids. But do you know how to honour God? In the honouring God will cause him to look after his kids. It's not that he doesn't want to look after you. If I remove myself from his guidelines, his principles, so if he turns around again without going into all the detail when we've looked at Malachi, when I'm in that position that says, I honour God, and he says, and there will be food on your table, there will be an open heaven, there will be provision. And then we add to that, don't we? There is health, there was the preceding word, there was understanding the wills and the ways of God, and all of that we broke down for you, is all your provision. That doesn't close because Putin becomes a Burke. Because Putin does what Putin does not change the principles of the kingdom. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. We saw and we understood that each man, it said that we bring the fruits of our increase. And we said, but we are not farmers and we're not shepherds. Unless you're a farmer and a shepherd, and I don't know you're a farmer and a shepherd. You might have a Saturday job as a farmer and a shepherd. I don't think so. But what we found and what we designated from Scripture, that each man is placed in his own field. Your field might be accounting. Your field might be education. Your field might be banking. Your field might be health provision. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You are placed in a field and we have the ability to bring something to him. Yes? But here's also a point. We made the point, didn't we? Pastor Tony and I were having a conversation about it, banging around the table the other day. I said to you that God does not spend sterling. That when we bring any offering into the house, does God take... Is there an angel drop down? Do you know like when you've ever been about and the security guard comes in, don't they, with a box and they carry out the cash box and they put it in the van? Is there an angel that turns up on a Monday morning with his cash box to whip away any offering and take it up to heaven? No. Cash doesn't. God doesn't need a cash machine. God doesn't spend sterling. He receives the honour from your offering, the same way that when there was a sacrifice made, he took the aroma of the sacrifice, seeing where people's hearts were. Have you also seen that where money's concerned, that when you keep it in context, you keep it in balance, God doesn't demand in his word, right, Chris, when we're doing an offering next week, you've got to bring Kuwaiti dinari. He's not asking for Kuwaiti dinari. And why am I saying Kuwaiti dinari? Because it's the strongest currency in the world. He will even accept John's giraffe currency. He doesn't place a demand on what's the highest on the stock market today. That's what you must give me. He says, from where you are, bring me your best. And in bringing your best, you bring your honor. He receives the honor and returns back. Amen?
Amen.
And we showed last week through Veronica's testimony, we read Delma's testimony, how that when you accept the principles, you build them into your life, it becomes a practice, you honor and work through with the good days and the bad days. Delma said she had to learn principles, but it enabled her to be where she is today. And thank God for biblical principles that she could establish in her life and make work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Veronica talked about, for her and David, where they were from, and how they was able to bless and give inheritance while they were still alive, and be able to bless other people, and because of principles of that when we honor God, it sets something in motion. I'm going to say this to you about having a field. Now, if this offends you, it's not my fault. It's just how it is.
That's offensive.
Each man has a field, yes?
Yeah.
So if each man has a field, let me backtrack. Now, remember, you gave me grace to say I can backtrack, I can park, I can do wherever I want to go, right? Without sounding like a nutter, even though I am. When God creates the garden in Genesis and he starts to set everything in, what was the last thing that's put in there, or one of the last things? Is man. Because there is no one to work the ground. So then he gives man to be able to work his ground or work his field. Every man, every woman who's of workable age, who's not physically sick, should have a field where you work. I'll talk to the older generation over here who's worked all their lives. The state should not keep you. We understand that the state is there for us when we're at our ultimate need. But please don't use it as your buffer not to work. Didn't get that many amens necessarily on that one. I'm not trying to be offensive. If you're on benefits, then you're on benefits. I'm saying in all the things that are being built into you now, you're being trained, you're being equipped, empowered, you're being matured, work your way out. Work your way out, not work your way in. Proverbs 12:11 says this, those who work their field will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. If you don't go to work and think benefits are going to keep you and a little bit I do on the side will keep me, you live in a fantasy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll just let that tumbleweed pass down through the house. We have fields to work. We have been given skills. We've been given strength. We have called to fit and make sure that each one of us can be productive in our fields, yeah? Also in that honouring God, it's divine self-preservation. When I honour God, it's divine self-preservation. It ignites a promise of provision. So in certain ways, you end up with an agenda without having an agenda. In honouring God, I know that he honours me back and there is provision for me. But I don't honour God because I want him to provide for me. I honour God because he's worthy of all honour. It's first importance. But when I do it, I understand and can rest assured that God is with me. God is on my side. So sowing seed. I very quickly touched on something last week. So I can expand a little bit because I've given myself time deliberately to build this in because I think it'll help us. So we've just read, haven't we? Honor the Lord with your first fruits. Yes? But Phil, now you're talking Old Testament again when it comes to honouring the Lord. Because it's the first fruit. Look, again, we're not all farmers. We're not shepherds. And it's we're honouring the Lord as part of an old pattern. Again, remembering that the pattern hasn't been changed. Tithing was never revoked. Honouring God was never revoked. Do you realise that Jesus is called the Lord 430 times in the New Testament? I'll say that again. 430 times. So when he turns around and says, honour the Lord, I can find him in the old and I can find him in the new. The principle is the honour and not being caught. Remember, we've covered it so much. We are not under the law. Christ came to fulfill the law. We know that. But we're in a position where we're honouring the Lord, whether the new or the old. So we touched on last week sowing seed and the power of seed, did we not? So let me read this to you from 2 Corinthians 9:6 to 10. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And also he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you will always have sufficiency in all things and may have abundance for every good work. And as it is written, he has dispersed abroad and has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So there is a provision for daily life and there's a provision for kingdom advancement. All in this. Now I'm going to take 5 minutes, that's all it's going to take, to break things down for you. Because we're saying an awful lot in those verses, but it's only when you stop and you pause, you see what opens up for you. Is that all right? So we say, and see right at the beginning, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Now remember what we said. Sowing sparingly is not you giving little. Sowing sparingly, according to Malachi, is that when you allow what should be God's to pass to, I will keep the best for me and give God the blind, the deaf, those with a crippled. Because it talks about the animals that they were bringing. They were looking and thinking, that'll make me no money at market. God can have that bit. Do you remember when we've used a story in the past, and I love it? The story of the man who's moved. When God says, Kath, I want a sacrifice from you. You've got two cows. I want one of your cows. Do you remember the story? Yeah. And in the course of the night, it's the next day, Kath's going to bring her offering to church. She's got there Mary, the heifer. She's bringing tomorrow morning. There's a storm, lightning, crashes, kills the cow. Kath turns up to church the next morning and says, God, I've got some bad news. What? Your cow died. It's when we spare so sparingly, we keep the best for ourselves and we give God surplus, or even worse, when we were saying about the whole thing for Ukraine, surplus requirements. I have no need of it. I was going to take it to the tip anyway, so Chris might as well have it, instead of giving the best. So there's a principle that's set in place that says when I sow sparingly, I reap sparingly. Now, he's already said the provision is your barn will be full, your vats will overflow, and the wine will flow. Yes, that was what he's talking about. But if I step out of his principles, how does he cause my barn to be full? When we break the principle and the pattern that's set down, you don't allow me to bring you this because you only offered that. And when you offered it, it was begrudgingly. The next part was, when you bring what's purposed in your heart. So I'll say to you that whenever you decide to bring an offering before the Lord, decide before you come. Settle it in your heart and don't play the pocket lottery. You know what the pocket lottery is, don't you? Suddenly there's an offering turns up and you think, oh, an offering. You put your hand in your pocket. And you don't want to pull your money out and show people how tight you are because you're going, right, I'll have a look at it and which one can I give. You play the pocket lottery, don't you? You go, put my hand in. Did it put the 20 at the back or the front? One of them. And you pull out thinking you've got a fiver and you go, oh. I got a brown one instead of a blue one. You play the pocket lottery. All of this is purpose in your heart, the honor you're going to show him. And I will tell you this, do not be manipulated by anybody, whether they have a mic or they don't have a mic, whether it's anybody around you that you think you need to play keeping up with the Joneses or anything. The offering you bring is from your heart. I've been in place, I will tell you this because I believe Pastor Tony agrees with this, okay? And it's a principle that we've affected wherever we've been. I can be anywhere, then all of a sudden, do you remember Band-Aid in the 80s? And they were trying to collect the money. And they put on, who's gonna drive you home tonight? And they always like at tea time, don't they? They always have the kids on the telly who's got no food. You're having your tea because they know it's triggers. So when somebody's telling you a story and you think, oh, I need to give to that. There is nothing wrong with stopping, walking away, going before the Lord. Lord, is this what you want or you don't want? God is not going to be offended if you came back the next day. So many people will try and manipulate where giving's concerned to, this is what it is, this is what to do now. And they push you to that place of feeling that you're in the area of your soul that you feel guilty, that you moved. If God's not moving you, don't allow man to move you. Now, I've just built a trap door under myself, but I believe it 100%. We've been in places where we've let the offering pass and decided that we didn't need to give anything. And we've been in places where we've let the offering pass and brought it back the next day, the next week, sent a check, sent a transfer or whatever. Take time to find out what's in your heart and where God is. Is that all right? Is that safe for us? God loves a cheerful giver. he does, yeah. God loves a cheerful giver. But I know from my own experience, and I'm sure many of you, that in that cheerful giving, there's times when I've given sacrificially that has allowed me now to be cheerful. It's all right, we can all dance around the maypole when we're waving a fiver in the air. But when God asks for your Isaac, I don't need to go around and go, well, what about you? And what about you? And what about you? Have you ever had an Isaac that God has asked for? Who? I started something last week and I had to speak to Pastor Tony about it the day after. I spoke to Ange because Ange went, you had a moment. Don't you know it's I had a moment last week? Because God lifted the lid on a comment I made that showed me still what things were like when God had asked for an Isaac. And you kind of go, and you know what? You don't need to know what that was. I'm not going to tell you what it was. I don't need a story. I don't need you all pulling your violins out. It's nothing. You go through things, but there are times in your life when you think, oh, that's done and dusted. Then he just lifts the lid. Oh, it's still there. So God loves a cheerful giver, not begrudgingly. If you begrudge the gift, we have told you this in this house from the beginning, and I'll tell you again. When we take offering and you don't want to give, don't give. You are free not to give. Because you're not giving us. And I don't know if you notice, we're not like this, going, let's just see what's in John's pocket, what's he got? Is it, if it's coins, John, we need the other pocket. We don't play that game. We don't play that game at all. God will always get your money. What I mean by that is this. If you're sat there going, I've been offering, and you put in, God got your money, you just don't get the blessing that came on the back of it. The money will still come in. We're talking about the blessing that's due to you. Yes? So we don't give begrudgingly. I won't mention their names, but I was talking to somebody only last week who said they'd experienced. Do you know when I turned around and said that where First Fruits was concerned, people have this habit of setting, this is what you must give. And they draw this line in the sand. And the couple I was talking to last week turned around and said they visited a church and it was the pastor's birthday and everybody had to queue up to be able to bring their gift to the pastor, their cash gift, for everybody to see what they, because it was honoured to the pastor, everybody had to be able to see what he was being given. And them as visitors were told they had to join the line. Me thinks that's called abuse. I might be begrudging in that moment in time. But I'm one of those people who call a spade and not an agricultural implement. So I'm telling you where to get off in the first place, if that's okay. Not out of necessity. We don't give because we're not spiritually gambling, believing we're getting back. I'm skint. If I give God, I've heard the teaching, he's got to give me back, he'll honour it. Well, let's give the calculation. It's not. We're giving everything out of honour. That all grace may abound to you. That all grace may abound to you. Whether it's like grace of the Macedonian churches, or when we read in scripture that says from Jonah, they will forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Our hearts and the way we align ourselves will allow grace to come to us or not. Always having sufficiency in all things. Well, do you know what? I looked at that and went, I'm having that. If you're going to stick a magnet on your fridge, stick that one on. There is sufficiency in all things. There is sufficiency in my relationships. There's sufficiency in my health. There's sufficiency in my understanding of the word. There's sufficiency in revelation, in understanding, in walking in his ways of whatever it is. There is sufficiency. It's, we just put it in the box of that must mean money box. God says sufficiency in all things. And the Holy Ghost will lead you into all truth. What does all truth mean? All truth. There's no way where he can't take me. There is an abundance for every good work. Do you know when we turn around and Paul's just gave the announcement about the Ukraine and we say there is an abundance for every good work. I don't see if any of us going, do you know what? I can't eat Wednesday. I can't eat Wednesday because I've got to take Wednesday's money to be able to help with the Ukrainians. There is sufficiency in all things. All things. You might have days and you might have months where there's more month than money. It doesn't mean you're not sufficient. Look at where you're blessed. You know, there's so many times we look at and we reduce what we have when we look at what we don't have. And the world is set up to be what's known as aspirational living. So they set a picture here that goes, you're all right, Chris, but you've not got that. But if you work harder and you did this and you took this credit card or the loan, or you can be like the successful people. It sets a picture where God says, when you honour me, you will have sufficiency in all things. Seed for the sower and bread for the eater. The recognition that he's the owner and provider of everything that we have. We are blessed because he brings it. There's the multiplication of seed, the increase of the fruit of righteousness. You know, if there's any fruit that's going on, righteousness might be a key that we want.
Yeah?
Yeah? Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So if he finds it as the foundation of his throne, it must be pretty dear to him. So when he says you will multiply in the fruit of righteousness from our position of honour, it opens up a pathway and a gateway in the spirit. And the final thing on that is stop eating your seed. Shall I say it again? Stop eating your seed. When you live above your means, there's nothing left. Delmer said, we taught a principle that worked like this. When I honour God with my tithes and offerings, when I pay myself 10%, this is all found in the pillars, seven pillars of wisdom that we taught some years ago. And I can learn to live on the 80%, we'll always progress. And all I'm going to do is, don't believe my teaching, talk to the people who's got a testimony how their life changed. Yeah. because yours can be exactly the same. And there could have been a dozen people that we asked to give testimony of that's worked and how they walked that through. Be kind to the poor, is what we said, didn't we? The Ukrainian situation falls very much in that bracket. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward those for what they've done. I'm going to take 1 minute, and I'll pick up on this in a few weeks' time or whenever Pastor gives us a slot. We've told you before that as a house, we support a thing called Lend With Care. Do you remember when we said that? We've passed it in the past. We do Lend With Care. Currently, we help the poor in 9 countries around the world. Vietnam, the Philippines, Cambodia, Rwanda, Malawi, Ecuador, Zambia, Peru, and Pakistan. We help the poor. Now, when I say we help the poor, we don't help the poor. We're helping the poor because we took some of your seed and we invest it into the poor. Because the poor, there is a provision that we make internally. And the provision we make internally is the urgent needs fund. Then we give externally to the poor. Christ says the poor you'll always have with you. We don't need to take every penny we've got to try and help the poor, but we have to remember the poor. So we've helped the poor, and however we help them. We have given 135 loans to the poor. We have. We have helped 363 entrepreneurs. We've helped 1,482 family members. We've created 382 jobs. And we've helped 2,227 people with your seed to date. And we will continue. Because it's not all, I don't know if you know, not every, we spend enough, but not every penny is being spent on this palace in which we live in. 9 o'clock last night, when we had the scaffolding out, with a ladder on top of the scaffolding, with me on top of the ladder that's on top of the scaffolding, fixing the tiles that were falling down on your head for this morning, we are not looking to blow. We are good stewards with what you give us, or what you give him. We are good stewards, but part of what we do is we give to the poor. And in that, we don't ask for it back. And you can partner with us later on down the line. You can make a gift to the poor and help someone in their business startup. Oh, by the way, 95% of these people that we deal with asked for seed. So we invest in people who want seed. Not somebody saying, I need some new Armanis. Who's got the latest Nike baseball boots? These are people who's asked for seed to change their lives and the lives around them. Yeah, that's not in counting South Africa. Every year, we put how many kids through?
15 kids.
We put 15. We pay for the education of 15 kids a year in South Africa through Isaac Gold, and we've done that for 8 years,
nearly 10 years.
Nearly 10 years of kids who now have an education and have become peer mentors, that we take them from what they called, so in South Africa, it's not the ghettos, what they called?
Shanties.
The kids with shanties who can't afford education, we pay for their education. That all of these things is with seed that are provided, that means that there is also substance in this house. Yes? So I will tell you in 5 minutes, because I want to get practical. There are 5 types of first fruit mentioned through Scripture. All of this and the notes and the Scriptures will be in your notes. Is that all right? So I'll give you a banner headline. Am I okay with a banner headline? The first fruit is the first fruit of your harvest, which we've already discussed. Yes? So that's laid out in Scripture. But here's something, just think about it from Genesis. And in the same year, Isaac sowed in the land and returned a 100-fold increase. A hundredfold wasn't 100 times more than he planted. The hundredfold increase was the maximum return he could ever get. So from the fields, Israel turns around, or God turns around and says to Israel, I expect the first fruit of your fruit trees, of your vats, of your olives, of your fleeces from your sheep, of your firstborn cattle. He goes through a list of things. They understood that by honoring God, they would be getting maximum returns back. But again, we're not playing the gambling game. Isaac received a hundredfold, so there was the first fruit of harvest. The next first fruit is Israel. Jeremiah describes Israel as the first fruit. And the first fruit was this, that Israel was the first nation to come to me that I call my own. But they are the first fruit and the gateway to all of the other nations coming in. Ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. So Israel is a first fruit. Believers are classed as a first fruit. It turns around and says that you are a first fruit of the new creation. That you and I come into new creation realities, and God says, what I am doing with these first people can be escalated, can be built, can be multiplied and spread globally, that the new creation realities of people with new birth changes. All found in first fruits. I love this one. The others are good. But I love this one because I can play in my creative head. Allows me to dance through the daisies with this one. The Holy Ghost is classed as a first fruit. Two nods, right. So we understand that when I come to Christ, I get the Holy Ghost as a deposit guarantee in my inheritance. Yes? So that is whether I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost or not, he already there is a deposit. I am sealed. We don't need to cover all the scriptures, do we? So the Holy Ghost is a deposit, but he's also classed as a first fruit. Now I want to just unlock that for you in 1 minute. Allow your brain to play with me. When you look at the ultimate of anybody being connected to the Holy Ghost and manifesting that, see, you want to stick on tongues. You want to stick on, I brought the word of lift up, cheer up and build up this morning. There is so much more that the Holy Ghost can lead us into. The wisdom how to rule nations, how to change things. Never mind the supernatural element. The Holy Ghost gives you the power and gives you the ability to minister and to speak to creation. Because you don't believe that bit, that's why you all went quiet. But Jesus deals with the law of physics and walks on water. He is the one who speaks to the storm. He speaks to the wind and the waves. He is the one who, as we've said, so many things. Shout him out. What does he do? Forget the healing principles of it. He speaks to the fig tree. He is the one who deals with creation in a completely different way. You go, yeah, but that's Jesus. So Moses opens the Red Sea. Elijah speaks and says, by the power of my word from the God before whom I stand, it will not rain. There is something when we tap into the Holy Ghost which is bigger than you and I have ever thought. Amen. And Scripture gives you a snapshot when it turns around and says, and all creation waits in eager expectation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. There is something that we've not stepped into which is a first fruit in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is classed as the first fruit. He's the first fruit of resurrection from the dead. All of this is your and my portion. First fruit isn't just about on a certain day of the year, you take me money. First fruit is nations coming. It's the Holy Ghost. It's your walk. It's the knowing the power of life and death. All of these things are found in first fruits. So now I'm going to get practical with you. I'm allowed to be practical? Can we just get practical? So how we get practical is this. I've called it the three P's. Three P's. Ange says she likes the three P's. She likes, because she can remember. If we give things like this, the three P's, she'll write them down. And that is pray, plan, practice. We'll keep it really simple. Play, plan, plan. Teeth. Pray. Pray, plan, practice. So let's start with pray. What should you give? Good question. Glad you asked that one. We have started and we have stated to say that it's never about the amount. It's about the honour of the gift in our hearts. With that in mind, thinking of two stories. The widow's mite at one end is recorded in Scripture for a reason. The one who brought the widow's mite. David at this end. Do you understand that if you do your calculations and you read Scripture, David brought over, are you ready for this? 100 metric tons of gold and silver to the house of God. 100 metric tons of gold and silver. His offering fell into the billions, if not more, to the lady who brought the widow's mite. But both are recorded because both brought their honour. If you're David and you're going, I'll just empty the back shed of 100 metric tons of gold and silver, your ability to give greater is there because you have greater to give. But if you have your two mites, your mites is accepted to God just the same. It might be a pastor and leadership that go, why don't you bring in your 100 metric tons of gold? It's how people will look sometimes at the size of someone's offering, and that's why people will love it to be either public or private. Because they'll go, just look what I'm bringing. And God goes, keep moving. Because there's no honour, it's all about you and where you come from. Scripture is silent about the amount of first fruit should be. Now, if you want to get religious about it, which we don't, you can go additional letters outside of Scripture and go, if you go into the Torah, some rabbi might say 1/40th of your 16th of the second cow on a third day on a Wednesday. What do we say? Bring your best. We refuse to make it a religious thing. We refuse to make it law. All we've ever said is that this is about your heart and you bringing your best to God and you honouring him from where you're coming from. As couples, come into agreement before you come. Make an agreement, settle it, and work with it as cheerful givers. You don't want, sorry, you're on the front row, Chris and Kath going, you said 10. Well, I thought it was 20. No, you thought you said 10. Well, let's split it 15. Make the agreement before you come. Settle it in your hearts. You've already, in a way, you bringing your gift is the end result. The honour all started when you set your heart. When you set your heart to move towards it. And then be obedient and bring it. Well, I know we said we were going to do it on Wednesday, Chris, but the washing machine's just gone. So why don't we take half on the washing machine money, split that in that pot, move that, do a bit of column A, column B. What you determine, settle it, bring it. Just bring your best. Shall I say it again? Bring your best. 100 metric tons or the widow's mite. Wherever it is, if it's your best, it's your best. Yeah. Is that all right? Yeah. I wrote myself a note because I've been here, and I'm sure somebody's been here before with me. Empty pocket but full heart syndrome. You can write a chapter on that somewhere. Yeah. Empty pocket but full heart syndrome. When you've been somewhere, you've been, let's just say you're being pressed at a particular time, and you hear something and your heart responds and you say, my God, I want to give to that. I want to move towards that. You know what these pants are, don't you? These are the ones Angie's been through. And you go, I have nothing to give, but my heart moves towards you. Yes? So let me read you this verse. Psalm 141 and verse 2. May my prayer be set before you like incense, and may the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. There are times in your life when you've not got, and you stand before God and you say, God, all I've got is my prayer, and I raise my hands to you. And he says, I've accepted your offering. Because you are the living sacrifice. When I say, God, all I've got is me. And he goes, you know what, Kath? I'll take your IOU. Not for the stuff, because you're still my sacrifice. I accept your prayers as incense, the lifting of your hands as the evening sacrifice. God's not looking to screw us to the floor, is he? So then we plan. So we cover prayer. So we plan. We plan for major events in our lives, don't we? Big birthdays. Christmas coming up. Bar mitzvah, just in case any of you is having a bar mitzvah. Whatever it is, university, special holidays, we plan for it. If we're looking to make this a milestone and it's something that's part of the culture of a house, we start to plan for where that will go moving forward. So we mark something down on our calendar and says, on this day, in this year, in the Dream Centre, is a day that we will bring our first fruit offering to the Lord. So we circle it and say, be away that weekend. We put it down and then we plan for it. Yeah? And again, what we say, what if you turn around and say, but I haven't got time to prepare. It's okay. What are we not? Legalistic. What are we not? Religious. So if we turn around, I'll help you put something on your calendar. We are looking to say that we will take a first fruit offering, honouring to the Lord, of the last Sunday in April, which is, I think it's the 24th of April. You might turn around and go, well, I can't make provision. Fine. We're doing it anyway. Because we have to set a date in the calendar. My eldest boy, I know for a fact that when he's at work, he gets his annual bonus. If he works in a company, he gets a bonus. He gets his annual bonus the last day of May. So he might turn around and go, I can't do April, but I'll bring it in May. Yeah. Fine. If you said to somebody, look, I can't do it till September, when things change, bring it in September. And all you need to do is mark it that says first fruit, because it doesn't become part of this, it's the honour. Does that make sense? We keep saying, and I keep saying, and hopefully you've got it, it's not about the amount, it's about the honour that we're looking to give. But alternatively, setting context and keeping context, David says, I will not bring a sacrifice that costs me nothing. Again, first fruits is not what you can find down the back of the sofa. First fruits is I'm bringing the best of my increase, which we'll cover in a minute. I am a champion. I believe I'm a champion of responsible giving. That God doesn't paint you in a corner and take everything from you. Men do that to you. Men abuse you and manipulate you. God doesn't do that. But it doesn't mean that when you don't go to prayer, God doesn't ask you for something that you find a faith stretch. If there is a faith stretch, I'm going to say something to you. I'm going to give you a caveat, a protection caveat. The protection caveat works this way. You may have a different level of maturity as you walk with God, and you go, I know God's asking for that. This is my Isaac day. I know he's asking for it, and I've walked with God long enough to know when God's speaking. You might be somewhere else on the spectrum that go, I think this is what I should do, but there's nothing wrong with me coming to get counsel and speaking to pastor or the leaders and said, this is how I feel, this is where I sit, where does it sit with you? Because sometimes they might go, John, stop eating cheese before you go to bed. It's the balance, there's the responsible giving. Yes, the giving shouldn't kill you. Those who propagate give till it hurts are normally the ones accepting the offering, not giving it. And I have given and it's hurt, but I will never propagate give till it hurts. But I will always propagate be obedient to what the Lord says. But if you need counsel, take counsel. Is that a good caveat for you? Is that a good kind of backstop? I'm just trying to help you here. Practice. Mother's Day, if I get the date right, is the 18th of March. Is that right? It's about there. Well, I know it moves around. It's in March anyway. Nick. Thanks, Gwen. 27th. Gwen's going. The kids are all coming round on the 27th. We never had Mother's Day in our house in March when I was growing up. Once I got past that age of coming home with half an egg cup on a straw from school, when we got to the stage of going, we understand this, my mum said, I will never celebrate Mother's Day. Because if you feel forced to turn up, take me out, bring me a gift, do something on a day of the year, I don't want it. Take me out in the middle of August when I don't expect it and say this is for Mother's Day. It wasn't just you were forced to do something. It was about the heart motive. Angie and I don't celebrate Valentine's. Now, we've been together 40 years this year. It's not because Angie isn't romantic. It's because we turn around and do something that says, if I can't tell you I love you every day and show you honour and respect, I don't need to do it on the 14th of February. You know, like them all sad-looking men at 11 o'clock in Asda looking for the whoopsie deal on the roses, going, I won't pay that price this morning, but I'll get the yellow sticker. And you come home with four bunches. I've got you 86 dead roses. £3.50. It's about if you're forced to do something on a day, there is no honour. It's tradition, it's religious, it's format. Honour the Lord with your first fruits. Honour the Lord every day. When you get an opportunity to honour him, honour him. And do you know how you honour him the best? Live the life he tells you to live. I don't need to walk past the cash machine all the time, putting my PIN number, get 10 quid, push it under the door and say to Tony, that's for God. When my life is bearing fruit, I'm bringing the honour that he wants. Is that all right? As we said, it's never begrudging. If you begrudge, just let it pass. No one's going to look at you or look down their noses if you think, I'm letting that pass. If you let it pass, you know what it says about the table? It says that when you have the bread and the wine, if you've got something in your heart, let it pass. Better to give nothing, to give something you don't want to give. Yes? So we will have and be cheerful givers. On that day, I'm sure Pastor Tony will give you greater detail, it's going to be a celebration Sunday. As the house, we're going to celebrate. We're going to have the gift. We're going to do it. We're going to have a bring a plate. We're going to blow the socks off in our honour to him. So I've got some questions for you that hopefully will answer where you're at. I'm trying to think from where you are or anybody else, like we did with tithing. So I've asked some questions and I've given myself an answer. Is that all right? What if I've already given first fruit in this calendar year? Quiet, because you're going, oh, I'm not. What if you've already given your first fruit in this calendar year? Join us in the celebration and be free to give a free will offering or not. But join the celebration anyway. Should I give on an inheritance? Yes, first fruits is of all your increase. Sow a seed for your life to come. Somebody took something and took some time to think of you and give you inheritance. Sow part of that inheritance, thanking God that somebody took provision for you. Remember what we've said. The goodness of God often has a name. You say, thank God that I was able to get this that enabled me to do that. Thank God for the people that God used in that chain. The goodness of God has a name. Yeah. What if I'm retired and I have no increase? Oh, quiet there from all the retirees. Bring the first fruit from a pension rise, a cost of living increase, or a free will gift.
Yeah,
£3. Yeah. £3. Right. Do you know what, Kath? You can say it was £3. But if the £3 is the widow's mite and you've said, I've given my increase, you've given the 100% of your increase.
Yeah.
It's not about the amount.
No, I'm not going to dig it then.
Yeah, doesn't matter. It's all right. Kath's just letting it know she's not saying she's only got £3. But no, but it's the point. See it at something. If my increase was £3 and I brought the £3, I've given him everything I had. It's the first fruit of your increase. Right. You not seeming it to being enough and why he places a demand are two different things. Hence the reason why if you go back into prayer and say, God, I want to round it up to a fiver. Can I round up? Do you see what happens here? Do you know what happens, Kath? I'm not saying it's you. I'm just giving you a principle. What happens here now is that religion kicks in and go, I can't bring £3. But then we then put demands on ourselves that he's not asking for. And no one's going to manipulate you to turn around and say, your three should be 30, should be 300, should be £3,000. You bring your best of your increase. And if your increase was £3, it's £3. It's the principle. You can give over and above. You can always give over and above. What about a pay rise? Somebody might turn around and says, bring the amount of your increase. Now, if you look, and I have looked, I can assure you I've looked, there are many houses that would turn around and say, if you bring a first fruit, and again, Chris, you sat in the wrong place. Chris, here's the thing. People will say and demand that I have to bring my first month's salary complete and lay it at the pastor's feet. It's not even God's, it becomes the pastor's, and we give it the pastor for him to do with what he wants. A first month's salary. There is nowhere in scripture setting any precedent, but people set a precedent and then demand that you follow it. It's not. If you have a pay rise, and just say for instance you earn £100 today and you earn £110, what would that offering be if you brought the increase? £10. It would be £10. You don't want the 110. It's the increase. So it's the first fruit of the increase. And if you're paid weekly, it would be on whatever you got weekly. If you're paid monthly, it would be the increase of your pay rise for the month. So on that first month, if I get £120 instead of £100, the 20 is my increase. I don't empty my bank account for the month because that's what I think God wants. No, that's what man wants, especially when it's being given to me. Who does it affect? It affects everyone in a household who's a wage earner. So if you're a wage earner, partake in the celebration. It's what it is, whether you're man, woman, whatever it is. If there's been increase in your house, that's what we're bringing. But I'm also going to do something else. If we're setting this as a pattern for the generations to come, invite the kids in.
Yeah.
Invite the kids. Tell the kids this is what we're doing. We're having a celebration day. We're going to bring an offering to the Lord. What do you want to bring? They might go, I've got 10p from me spends. I've got this. I've got, you know, a pound that was left in a card from my birthday. Whatever. They can also celebrate in that because it's meant to be for the generations to come. It's not like we ignore kids in kids' church and everything else. And we say, when we get to 18, you're part of this now. The celebration is a whole house celebration. All of Israel celebrated on that day. It wasn't just dad went out. It wasn't dad's all went to the pub day. This was the whole house celebrated. The whole nation celebrated. What if I have no increase? Fuel's gone up. Petrol's gone up. Your gas and electric's gone up. Food's gone up. We're all at the food bank with Andy next week. Whatever it is that's gone, just bring your best. Because it's of the heart. God, this is what I have. I've had no increase, but I'm celebrating and bringing my honour to you. Whether it be calf's widow's £3.
Hey, widow,
we didn't tell you about that bit, Chris. Oh, it's gone to £6 now. I think I got £6. See, you've already doubled. In the same year, a maximum return, you've now got six. Yeah, and you're like, no, what we mean is that widow's mite, whatever it is, it's not about the amount. Yes? When will it be? As we said, the 24th of April, on that Sunday when we come together. What won't first fruits do for you? It won't save you. It won't buy you a special place in heaven. And it won't bend God's arm up his back. The honour is the honour because he's God. Not because I'm getting something, not because I get some more kudos. Can I gift aid it? Yes, you can if you're a taxpayer. But here's something else. I speak out of turn, but I speak in turn. This is a private offering. Yes? So no one knows what anybody gave. So it's not like, oh, Chris gave you £3. Mm-hmm. He gave his 100 ton of gold. It's a private gift. And the only way anybody will know is if you choose to say, I'm number 72, can I gift aid it? Outside of that, no one knows, because this is between you and God. If you give or you don't give, you give a grand or you gave £3, isn't the issue. No one's looking and have, here's a special row, VIPs at the front, they're the biggest givers. Everybody is treated exactly the same way as it was before this, because no one's looking. But you can gift aid it. Now just remember the heart thing of, got 2 minutes and I'm done. The heart thing of Ananias and Sapphira. Yeah. They turned around and they saw the kudos that Barnabas got because he sold his field. And they said, I'll sell my field. Because I want to look and have the kudos of going, I'm one of the biggest givers around. Look at me. We are the biggest givers. But what nobody knows is we'll take 50%. We'll stick it in our back pocket. You don't only lie to your God, lie to us, lie to yourself. You lie to God. What did they say? You're lying to the Holy Ghost. Better you say, I own it and I didn't need to give it. Or if I gave it, I gave 50%. Because what does he say? It belonged to you. No one asked for it. You came. So when your offering will not buy you kudos, this is you saying, God, I honour you. And the last one, what then? We pray over the offering. We bless the offering. We release a blessing over the families and those who've done it. And with transparency, we will announce what that offering was the week after, once it's been counted. And then we will take a portion of that offering and we will give it to the poor. So whether we give it to Lem with Care, we give it to Isaac Gold or whatever, it's not suddenly the church coffers gets bigger. This is about your honour towards the Lord. Is that all right? Yeah. And remembering this final thing, it's not what God wants from you. It's what God wants for you. I trust that helps. I've tried to cover all of the bases. If there's anything that's missing, speak to me. If you're in disagreement, speak to me. Whatever it is, I don't bite, especially with my broken tooth. Whatever you've got, do that. But start to, as we say, it's the 24th of April this year, but we are planning to say the last week in April, in the years moving forward. So we pray, we plan, we practice. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Let's just pray and just close this morning. Father God, we thank you that you are the God of the nations. We We thank you, Lord God, that your hand is towards us. And we thank you, Lord, that the blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow to them. And Father, I pray for this opportunity just to give you honor. Lord God, Father, we're not even looking for the end of April. Father, may our lives, Father, be fruit-bearing, allowing, Lord God, Father, you to be given the glory. Lord God, Father, we align ourselves to you again. We say, Holy Ghost, finish that work inside of us. Form the pattern Christ. And Lord God, I pray that as we go about our weeks this week, Father, bless every life, bless every family. Yes. Father, move our hearts. Lord God, we thank you that we're blessed. Yes. Lord, even with that thought this morning, the privilege of reading to our kids. Lord, I thank you we live in a land of peace. I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is still towards us and is on this nation. Father God, bring peace to the nations of the world. But Lord God, I pray that, Lord, in these times it will be an opportunity for men to cry out on the name of the Lord and to call on you as Lord and Savior. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we give you glory. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.